1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says these words. It says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." I'll read that again. "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." And this evening, we want to deal with this topic just for a moment or two on winning as a Christian. Without overstating the obvious, you can't win if you're not in. And I want to begin with that very simple foundation this evening and ask that very basic question. Are you a Christian? Because you can only be winning as a Christian if you are a Christian. You can only be winning if your faith is in what you do and what Jesus has done for you. And one way we have of describing our faith is found in John chapter 3. It's possibly the best known passage in all of Scripture. If you want to take time just to look that one up for me, John chapter 3, I'll only ask you to do that a couple more times. But John chapter 3, and we'll take a little look down through it just in a moment or two if you have it open. Coming into a new family, a new team, coming under a new king, a new ruler, is what John 3 is all about. And when we come to talk about winning as a Christian, it's essential that we first of all check, am I a Christian? Am I a believer? Do I have faith in what Jesus has done? Or is my living, my winning, really depending on what I am doing myself? And we know in a sense that a talk like this is particularly geared towards the youth this evening. We know that a talk like this will come to eventually, will come to Bible reading and prayer and church fellowship and sharing our faith. And we will get to those this evening. Not to be a spoiler there at the beginning. But before we get to that, I want us to really ask this fundamental question. I want us to ask, do we have that faith? Have we signed for the new team? And I want us just to think about that for a moment or two under this. Understand what has happened. John chapter 3 reminds us that God the Holy Spirit is necessary to you and I becoming a Christian. I don't want anyone to leave Trinity Presbyterian this evening and have heard Stephen Chambers saying that read your Bible and say your prayers and you're a Christian. Go to church and you're a Christian. Help out at a few things and you're in. It's not what you do that makes you a Christian. God, by his Holy Spirit, must work in your life in order for you to become a follower of Jesus. The folks have been singing it just a moment or two, that verse that's well known earlier in John's Gospel, where it says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And being a Christian is essentially God's work. It's his work. And when we come to John chapter 3, if you have your Bible open, we see a man who was religious. We see a man who was religious. He was a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He claims great knowledge along with his religion. In fact, we're told there that he is the teacher of Israel. Now, what does that mean? Sorry to remind the teenagers this morning that you've got school in the morning. That has to be done. That's important. And all our teachers have had to be taught how to be teachers. Now, you can question the effectiveness of that if you wish in the morning. But for now, assume that all our teachers had to be taught to be teachers. When I was training to teach technology and design, back in the day, I had to go to Stranmillis College for 4 years, or I was there for 4 years, shall we say, and I enjoyed every moment of it. And of course, in order to be a teacher, you have to be taught by a university lecturer. And that was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious guy, but he was a very, very intelligent guy. But Jesus got to the point with him and said, despite all that he had done, religiously speaking, he said to him, you must be born again. You must come into, if you're going to be a Christian and win as a Christian, Nicodemus, you need to be born into, you need to sign for a new team. That's why I put that lovely photo up there for Brian. I just knew he would love it. Paul Pogba, I'll not do any dabbing this evening because it would hugely embarrass my daughter. Signing for a new team, that's what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. He has to have a new life, interest in a new team, come under a new ruler. All of those things are used there. And he's saying to him, verse 14, he's telling him how that can take place. He says, as Moses, John 3:14, many of you could quote this, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And then John, who wrote the book, explains what has happened with Jesus and Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. As whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. New life, coming into a new team, being a Christian, is looking to Christ. It's not by what I do, even if it's Bible, if it's prayer, if it's church, but a faith, a dependence in what Jesus has done on the cross. When he was lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent back in that story in Numbers, Jesus said he would be lifted up, and indeed he was. Shortly after this account with Nicodemus, he was lifted up, and our dependence on the work that Jesus would do on the cross is what makes you and I a Christian. And so I want to set that foundation. When anyone becomes a Christian, they have new life within them. There's new life within them. They sign for a new team. They come under a new ruler. It's not what they have done, but it's God's Holy Spirit at work in their lives. And of course, that brings about a huge change. That becomes a new thing, a different direction for a Christian as they turn from sin and as they turn to God through what Jesus has done for them. A Christian can't help but be different. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7 to 18, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone has this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for them, he is a new creation. He signed for a new team. He's not in their way anymore. The old has passed away. The new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Under new management. And God is absolutely determined to make us more like Christ. And that's what's happened. If you're going to win as a Christian, you've got to understand what has happened. And so I ask this evening at the very beginning, I ask you to think this evening, to pray about, to talk about to others, have I changed? Do I strive to turn and to trust? Who do I trust in this evening? Is my trust in what I can accomplish and what I can do? Or is my trust in what Jesus has done? That's a very simple thing this evening that summarizes the gospel for us. Is it what I do? Or is it what has been done? John 3 tells us it is what has been done. Are there signs of God's work in you and me this evening? Are there signs of a new life, a new team, a new leader? Does it seem like you are on Christ's team this evening? Because you can't be winning as a Christian if you're not a Christian to begin with. So that's foundational this evening. Have a little think about that. At our camp, I really appreciate very much Brian's fellowship down the years, and I really, really appreciate his thoughts and prayers this evening as we do commence a very busy summer. But a few years ago at camp, we were doing one of those photo diary things. You know what I'm talking about? You give all the groups of kids a camera or mobile phones these days, and off they go. And they take photos and they take video clips, and then they come back and they put it all together. And they've got to make up a story when they come back, and then we watch them all in the evening. And one of the groups that I was with at various points during the day, we went up to the ambulance station near where our camp centre is in Kilkeel, and we got one of the young guys wired up. The paramedics were really good. They were quite quiet, and they were glad to see us. And they lay the young guy down on the heart monitor, and he sort of winked. The paramedic winked at me, and you could see his heartbeat going doo doo. And he pulled the lead while the guy, "Your heart has stopped. You're not left. What's wrong?" And he lifted out the paddles and all and gave them a rub together, ready to go. "Everybody stand clear," and the wee fella's ready to pass out in the back of this ambulance. And he flatlined. And I want us at the beginning this evening just to check that we're not a flatline Christian, that there actually is life in us, that I'm depending on Jesus, that he has made a difference, that there's a sign of life in me, there's a sign of life in you. Because that's going to be necessary. We're not going to win anything if we're not in the winning team. So just keep that in mind as we begin this evening. The second thing I want us to think about this evening is, if you're in a team and you're winning as a Christian, alongside that victory, alongside that winning, there's going to be a struggle. Now, I've noticed in my years, 13 years now with CEF, that the young people that we work with in different churches and different areas around the North Coast area, that this is one of the things that causes our young people to really almost give up in their faith, is the struggle. They wonder why it's so difficult. They wonder why it seems like that guy there pushing the rock uphill. Why it seems, if we're on the winning side, why does it have to be so difficult? Why can this Christianity not be a little bit easier? Well, I suppose we use the sport analogy. When you're doing a marathon, or you're cycling, as the picture suggests there, or whatever you're doing, you're not going to win, and you're not going to be able to train. You're not going to be able to do what you can unless there's an element of struggle in it. Just a couple of years ago, a friend of mine just outside Coleraine, a really good friend despite what he said about me, he said he's a GP, right? I don't want to offend any GPs, but he was quite blunt with me, and he said, "Stephen, you're fat." And he said, "Stephen," I said, "You're I really love your bed manner, Sean. That's great." And he said, "Stephen, it's time we did something about this." And he said, "I've got a bike there in the garage, and I've actually bought a new one of this bike." He says, "I want you to come out with me one day." And I went out to the house one day, and he said, "Well, just go down the road to see if it's the right size for you or whatever." So it's a road bike, a bit like the one in the picture there. And I just was in jeans and stuff. I hadn't any special gear on. And I don't have any photos of me in Lycra, so don't worry. But we went down the road that day, and I'm not joking, I went about half a mile, and I was ready to die. I was just, there's no way. There's no way. And yet after about 18 months, Sean and a group of guys, we did over 100 miles there. One Saturday, just a few of us went down to our camp centre in Kilkeel, and we've been able to do a triathlon, been able to do various things. Now, you look at me the night and say, "Stephen, you're still fat." You're right. You're absolutely, I'll not tell you what weight I was and what I've lost. And you're right, I am still fat, but now I'm fit as well as fat, and that's good. But do you know what? See, along the lines, where I live in Coleraine, we're out onto Limavady Mountain really quickly. One of the things I learned very, very quickly in running and swimming and cycling, the three disciplines, I don't know why I didn't take up golf, but the three disciplines that are involved in that particular sport, I've learned something very quickly, that you're not going to improve if you don't struggle. All right? Just this past Christmas, no relation of ours, but Peter Chambers is one of the Olympic rowers Peter was in our house on New Year's Eve. We're friendly with his parents. And they come round. And he said to me, "Stephen, you're in the unique place on the north coast. Get out onto Lima Valley Mountain and see the biggest hill you can find. Just do it 3 or 4 times one day. Just go up the top, cycle down. Top, back down. Top, back down. Cycle home." Right? He says, "The next day, go out and do it 4 times. Cycle home. Next day, out and do it 5 times. Go home." He says, "Your body will react to the struggle." And he said, it'll be unbelievable. Now, that was January, the last day of the year, coming into January the 1st. I haven't taken him up on his offer very much just yet. I think the most I got to was 3, and that was enough of a struggle for me. But we can't win, folks. We can't win if we don't have a struggle. Now, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Talks a little bit about this. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll rattle through this one, and then the last one is quite short. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." The New Testament talks a lot about the language of conflict and struggle and things being difficult. We can't win unless we're willing to suffer and to struggle and to strive and to labor. And maybe this evening you know that you thought becoming a Christian would be all sorted. In fact, life would be all plain sailing. But in actual fact, you've discovered very quickly that you're in for a bit of a struggle, because Satan doesn't want you winning. If you've come on to Christ's team, he doesn't want any change to happen in you. He doesn't want you to be on the winning side. You've changed sides. He doesn't get to tell you what to do. And particularly if you're a new Christian, don't let that struggle put you off. In fact, the fact that you know you're struggling, the fact that you know you're in a battle, that it's uphill at times, is one of the very proofs that you are a Christian. C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia and so on, he says there will be a counterattack on you, so don't be alarmed when it comes. The enemy will not see you vanish into God's kingdom without an effort to reclaim you. I have a picture of this guy. We'll all know who this is. Mo Farah. Mo Farah, we all know him so well for the Corn Mince adverts. And he does a bit of running too, I think. But in the Corn Mince advert, Mo Farah says these words. He's asked the question. He's asked the question, "What's your secret?" In other words, why are so many, it shows in the video or in the clip, lots of people dropping off and he's running on. He says, in answer to that question, "What's your secret?" He says, "I don't keep secrets. I keep going." And I think that's what the Bible encourages us to do. If we're going to win, we've got to be in. And if we're going to win, we've got to keep going despite the struggle. Don't let the struggle hold you back, but keep going in your faith. And yes, there'll be times you'll fail and you'll let God down, but remember this: if we confess our sin, he is faithful. Our God is faithful. He's just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Let's fix our eyes always on the good news of what Jesus does. Yes, we struggle, but it's not about our performance. Let's be ready for Satan's attack and let's strive on towards the goal. And last this evening, we'll finish with this one. We've got to use the means of help that God gives to us. You need not look up the passage this evening. But The passage talks about how can a young man or a young woman, a young person, keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. God has given us the means to improve at the biking, to improve at the running in particular. I've joined Springwell Running Club and do a little bit of swimming and a bit of cycling with a group of guys. And those are the means that we get better and that we get stronger and that we keep winning. And so this evening, God has given us various means. These means in and of themselves will not make you a Christian, but they are a tremendous help that God has given to us. Very quickly, I think the greatest means that God has given to us is His church. I think God has given us this place that we can come together. And young people, can I say to you this evening, your ministers haven't paid me up front to say this or anything. This is a biblical thing. It's vitally important for you that each week, if you're going to win as a Christian, if you're going to keep going despite the struggles, it's very, very important that you're together. This is not a lone ranger thing. This is not me and my wee corner and you and your wee corner and I and mine. I think our church together is vitally, vitally important. And I don't mean just youth fellowship after church. I mean Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and Sunday evening at 6:15, is it here, Brian? Or whatever time your church is. I think it's vitally important that we come together, that we pray for these guys that are up here week in, week out, opening the Word of God in their studies all week, that we pray for them, that we come together and we listen to what God has to say to us. And you know, more than that, as we walk out the aisle every Sunday, that we determine that we're going to do it. That's how we win as a Christian. Of course, Bible, getting out the Bible at home. I saw someone walking about this morning I was here this morning and for lunch, I saw one of the guys going about with a Good Book Company book in his hip pocket. Must have been using it this morning. And I think it's vitally important that we have some of those reading aids, things that help us, different reading plans that get us into the Bible, study notes from the Good Book Company or the Faith Mission, something that helps us read what other people have said about the Bible. And God has given us that means to help us to keep going and not to give up. Of course, prayer. Prayer is one that I have up there. It's not always that you feel that you want to pray. It's not always easy, but we have a Father. We're born into His family. We're now on His team, and we can cry out to Him, and we can learn so much as we read God's Word and as we pray it through, as we talk God's Word back to Him, as we adore Him, as we confess our sin, as we thank Him for all that He's done, as we ask Him to work in us and to work through us in the lives of others. In our church, our youth fellowship, and all of those things, as I say, are important as well. And also to witness, to go out on mission, and to share the good news of Jesus. All of those things are means that God has given to us to build us up and to strengthen us and to keep us going, that we mean everyone, John said, who has been born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that He has overcome the world, our faith in Jesus. And yes, we'll have struggle, but let's use the means that God has given us that we might go on and that we might be strong and stronger day by day and win one day, ultimately win and be with Him forever. Let's just pray.